What else could we play? What else can we play for Paul McCartney and Wings and Jet? Don't worry, we've got Roachford coming up. Steve Coogan, welcome along. It's lovely to see you.
Nice to see you too.
So listen, I'm hopping mad. I want something in the middle. That's where we left Alan.
Well, that is BBC Radio 2, isn't it?
Exactly. That's where
bang in the middle.
That's what we're here for. So this is the, you know, I sort of rewatched that last episode when you were coming in. And it made me kind of sad because I thought, does that mean there's going to be no more this time?
Well, yes.
We
feel like, I mean, they say if you want to make a character very successful or make a successful show, you have to just do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like Curb Your Enthusiasm, something like that, which is like, it just builds and builds and it becomes entrenched in the consciousness. But we feel like to stop us getting tired or a bit stuck in a rut,
yeah,
we have to sort of change things up. So he is coming back to the BBC.
Last time we see him, he has a tirade. He's quite sweet. He's kind of quite frustrated because he doesn't get to interview Princess Anne. And he goes out in the street, and I love it because he goes out in the street just outside here where largely no one lives.
Yeah.
And just gets people to open their windows and says, I'm hopping mad, I want something. And then the book, The Big Beacon, picks up just after this, I suppose.
Yeah, so what we do is we try to keep the sort of real-life narrative of Alan bubbling on. So it's sort of like you sort of create it, and it almost like, it's like that sort of self-generating AI. It's sort of, you create this monster, and he starts walking by himself. So since he was booted off the BBC for having a meltdown, he now has, he went on to build a lighthouse, yeah, to rebuild and renovate a lighthouse.
Does he get wind that someone else is going to do it, so he wants to do it first?
Yes, James Martin, the chef.
Yeah.
It's James Martin, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the book, I hope James isn't annoyed by this, but Alan Partridge gets news that James Martin is also renovating a lighthouse, and Alan was hoping to sort of somehow televise it. And
yeah,
that gets kiboshed by the fact that I think James Martin gets there before him.
Right.
So
Amundsen to his Scott kind of thing.
Yeah. Alan's trying to reinvent himself and use the lighthouse and as a metaphor, because, you know, lighthouses provide light to stop people being wrecked on the rocks, et cetera, and so it's and also it's to bridge a gap. We do something. We try to vary the format. We do a podcast, do a book, do a TV thing. And we're doing it. We're in the middle of doing another TV thing. So if anyone feels like there's some sort of starvation there of Alan, or someone who needs a fix of Alan, there are those dysfunctional people out there.
Well, like I said, this time could have gone for a while, because I mean, anyone that has any Irish family ever, the Martin Brennan episode is still like I showed it to my dad. My dad's, you know, doesn't watch an awful lot of telly. I showed it to my dad, and my dad was just in fits of laughter because we all have uncles that are Martin Brennan.
It was I did that. Well, that was funny enough. When I did that character, I mean, I spent all my summers in the west of Ireland, in Mayo, and I had lots of farmer uncles. I just did, and it was sort of an amalgam of them. My mother was very worried about me doing it. She said, the Irish won't like you if you do that. I said, they will, because they'll recognise. It's not me saying top of the morning and
kind
of cliche. It's very specific.
Yeah.
You know, it's a specific area. And I even, you know, I remember I said to the wardrobe woman, you've got to get the clothes dead right for this guy, because I know I know them all. And the only sack to my mother was I made him from Sligo, County Sligo, not County Mayo.
Yeah.
Just to sort of give her a bit of protection.
So where do we find Alan in his head? Is he, I mean, you know, the book starts with Christ, Lazarus, Douglas Bader, Aslan, Lance Armstrong, inspirational men, one of whom is a lion who have refused to accept defeat and have risen again. So is he in a happy place? Like he's emigrating from, his words, from Norfolk to Kent.
Yes. He's sort of trying new things. I think in some ways he sort of redolent of a lot of people, which is trying to sort of find something, trying to find some meaning in your life.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing is, he's trying to reinvent himself. It works for about a year. You know, the locals, he has to ingratiate himself with the locals. That's difficult, but eventually they accept him. And that doesn't work out. And now we're halfway through the new BBC series, shooting it, which is about mental health. Alan trying to grapple with it, and weirdly, in a way that's actually is actually constructive, but not because that's the way Alan intended it.
Yeah.
As far as Alan's concerned, he's heard lots of people talking about mental health. He wants to jump on the mental health bandwagon.
All right, more from Stephen, just a tick. Steve Coogan's our guest today. Alan Partridge, the Big Beacon, a lighthouse rebuilt, a broadcaster reborn, written by Alan, Rob Gibbons and Neil Gibbons. When did you get together with the Gibbons boys? Have they been part of the team for a while?
Yes. I started out with Patrick Marber and Armando Iannucci and then Peter Bainham. And then Pete sort of flew off to America to write for Sacha Baron Cohen because he could pay him more. And Armando obviously did his stuff. Patrick, you know, all these careers have blossomed. Yeah. And I sort of, for a while, I was thinking, well, you do other stuff.
Yeah.
And I've had some success in film. But I did a live show and I got these, and none of my original writers were around. So Rob and Neil Gibbons, who are, I mean, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Two non-identical twins from near Manchester, and they wrote some material for me, and it was knockout. It was sort of like if I was marking their homework. It was like 8.5 out of 10, mm-hmm. and I was so I felt like I can reboot this character, and also they seem to have a slight they sort of dialed in more sort of empathy for Alan, made you feel a bit more sorry for him, and not he wasn't such an, I was going to say something rude there, such an idiot, shall we say.
But that's what fascinates me about him is the evolution of Alan, as in, you know, when he first started it wasn't as easy to like him, but now there's a sort of sadness and empathy, and he's not, I think you said, he's flawed but not nasty.
He's like, sort of like for Shakespeare fans, he's a bit like Malvolio. He's a bit pompous and ham-fisted, as we say, clumsy in his approach. He's sincere, but he's just gets the wrong end of the stick. He's like, he's well-meaning, but not so. And also, he's not wicked. He's just misguided.
Do you have a favourite era of Partridge, or do you quite like the evolution? Do you like where he is now?
I like to feel like I always treat it like it's the first time I'm writing it.
That's
so you
nice.
Don't get lazy, you don't get complacent, and we feel like you've got to sing for your supper. If you don't make it, it's got to be really good, because a lot of people are waiting to say, oh, he's jumped the shark, it's not funny anymore, why is he still doing it? So we like that kind of challenge.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to push it and make it better.
Well, as someone that obviously you constantly are looking for the next thing and what you know, what you want to do, what will creatively satiate you. So to go back to that character is probably against, I mean, I'm just going out on a limb, but it's probably against form for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, I do it because I like to do it, not because I have to do it. So I do, you know, I've done other things. I've done, you know, I do films. I've just done a film I write with Jeff Pope, and we wrote the thing about finding the body of Richard III.
Yeah, that was great, by the way. I really
enjoyed another film coming up. I did Stan and Ollie. You know, I get all the opportunity to do these other things, really interesting things. I'm playing Brian Walden, the old ITV interviewer, soon in a
Tell
drama.
Tell us about that. How did that come about? Because such an interesting character.
Brian Walden was the sort of arch in-depth interviewer in the old days, where they had long-form interviews that where you'd interview a politician for 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen anymore.
What about him and Frost would be the same era, would they?
He was a little later than Frost, but in the same mould.
Yeah.
And he was ITV's star interrogator. And anyway, I'm doing drama with her and Harriet Walter as Margaret Thatcher. So that's I start shooting that soon. So
because that was kind of our Frost Nixon to a point, wasn't it? There was they sparred for a while, didn't they?
Well, Margaret Thatcher and Brian Walden had a kind of strange friendship,
mm-hmm.
That was sort of sorely tested towards the end of her tenure. So it's a fascinating story.
He's a fascinating guy because he started as a Labour councillor or something.
The interesting thing about Margaret Thatcher is that, and I was not a fan, I have to say, but the interesting thing about it was that she was state educated and not most politicians, well, certainly most Conservative politicians tended to be privately educated. Mm. Margaret Thatcher wasn't. Brian Walden, and they both got scholarships to Oxford.
Right.
So he felt a kind of a kinship because they felt like they were outsiders insofar as being outside the establishment. So that sort of bonded them. But their politics were slightly different, although he moved towards hers and became disillusioned with Labour, although he was always on the side of the ordinary working man.
Yeah, interesting. All right, more from Stephen just a second. Still less ban. Is it Gaudete?
Gaudete.
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 Shows my state education.
I know, it's quite a long time ago, that music.
There's a little bit of Partridge for you. So listen, are you going to take Partridge on the road again?
Probably yes, at some point. I mean, I like to do some other stuff first, and then I'll go back to him when I get... I mean, I do a lot of serious stuff, and then when I need a laugh... we all get together and do some Partridge.
It's lovely you still love him. It's lovely you haven't, you know... I mean, I'm sure you've fallen out of love with him down the years.
Yeah, I have. I think once I was able to do other things and allowed to and sort of had this opportunity to explore different topics and subject matters and write other things, that sort of, like, tickles that itch.
Yeah.
And as long as I can do that and I get the balance right, then I like to come back to Alan, because it's like putting a warm dressing gown on, you know, and it feels so easy.
Would you love to seriously act as well? Like, is that a big?
Well, I mean, I think I got a BAFTA nom for Savile and for playing the man whose name I shouldn't really mention, and then one for Stan Laurel. So I in this country, I mean, I'm just Alan Partridge. I think, I mean, people do see these other things occasionally, but in the US, I'm just seen as someone who has a body of work.
Yeah,
I'm not well known, but I'm known enough that I thought they sort of I'm considered to they sort of cast me in other things and take the sort of proposals and the sort of things I'm developing sort of more seriously.
Does anyone get Partridge abroad? Like,
no,
all, it doesn't travel.
Not really. No, I think there's a strange anomaly where Holland has a very British sense of humour. So I think he has some traction in.
Oh, well done, Holland. Be a nice place to go on tour.
And there's in America, the sort of cognoscenti, all the sort of comedy royalty out there, all love it and know it pretty intimately, you know. But it's never broken through there, which is mostly bad, but also quite good because I don't get saddled with it out there. Out there, people recognise me for things like 24-hour party people about the Manchester music scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And Philomena.
Steve, thank you so much. It's lovely chatting to you.
Lovely chatting to you.
Wonderful day. Yeah. Alan Partridge, the big bit. Partridge needs to come and do a radio show. It's just straight Partridge on BBC Sounds or something.
I do feel most comfortable when I've got earphones on and a microphone and a guest next to me. So I should be sitting where you are. And maybe I'll do that for radio.
Absolutely. Alan Partridge, Big Beacon, Lighthouse Rebuilt, A Broadcaster Reborn is out now. Thanks a million, Steve.
Thanks.